Eric Francis set to join me here momentarily for If This Is It. Let's play him in. Friend of the program, Eric Francis, joins me now. And for most of my guests, Eric, I say it's probably the first time you've been played in by Huey Lewis in the News. But with you, I feel like there's probably been a Huey Lewis in the News intro somewhere in your past.
You know, I don't know if that's a hurtful statement because I'm so old, but it is quite possible. It is quite possible that Huey and I went hand-in-hand in some interview at some point, yeah.
Hey, buddy, I owned multiple Huey Lewis cassettes back in the day, so you're not alone okay. In that regard, all right?
Good to know, yeah. It's funny, you know, I was thinking the other day, someone threw out that question, you know, what's the dumbest thing you've ever bought on TV? And I still have, like, this 8-cassette Stompin' Tom Connors thing that I ordered. And I didn't – it was the middle of the night. I got home from a night at the bar. I don't even remember ordering it. And then it just showed up, like, a couple weeks later. And that was my – started my love affair with Stompin' Tom. So maybe next time you could play me in with some Stompin' Tom.
We will do that next time. And also that opens up a complete subcategory of what's the stupidest thing you've ever bought off of television and how drunk were you at the time. I can remember my roommates in university. I can remember one of them. And again, I don't think they would say this is the dumbest thing they've ever bought, but you remember the old Girls Gone Wild late night advertising? One of my roommates came home from the bar. He decided to sign up for that. Like 4 months later, the payments are still coming, and they're the shipping and handling. And he's like, "This is the most expensive thing I've ever purchased in my life."
Hey, well, you're probably old enough to remember the old Columbia Records.
Oh yeah,
you know, 20 albums for a penny, and then obviously they end up getting their money and then more from you, and then the creditors are all over you when you try to ditch them, and it's a whole thing.
Yep, we all went through that at some point. Hey, here's how I'll beef up my cassette or my CD collection. I'll do it in a hurry, and it's only a penny. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was quite the racket they had going. Eric Francis of Sportsnet joining us here this morning on If This Is It. Just before we get to the Calgary Flames, the season that was, and what's to come on the other side, what's your situation right now? Everybody safe and healthy around you?
Yeah, we got a puppy. We're one of those millions of people that you know, decided if you're ever going to get back into that dog world, this is a good time to break in a puppy. So yeah, we're safe, healthy, and actually quite busy with the puppy. So that's kind of fun, and it's amazing. You can't find a puppy in Alberta right now. We found one in 100 Mile House, which is not probably is way closer to you than it is to Calgary. It's 11 hours away from here, near Williams Lake. That's where we had to go to get our puppy. But people do crazy things during this stuff.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and this is one of those times when you can devote a little more attention than you would if you were on your regular working hours outside of the home. Eric, let's talk about the Calgary Flames. You and I have had plenty of discussions about them over the course of the year. If this is it for the NHL season, what did we learn about this group as currently constructed and what we keep intact going forward if we're bred for a living or what we need to change?
It's such an interesting question here because I think, like, my initial reaction is we didn't learn a whole lot about this team because they were so middle of the road. They were so extremely average for a team that had very high expectations. Yet, you have to give them credit for their character. You know, there was a lot of stuff swirling around this organization off the ice that really could have derailed their season. When the Bill Peters craziness hit, this team was below 500 and really just kind of struggling to get its legs and kind of string together some wins. And then in the midst of putting a new coach in place and everyone wondering what's going on with Bill Peters and all the controversy surrounding it, they won 7 games in a row and got right back into where many people expected them to be, you know, near the top of the division. And then they kind of just stayed near the top with everybody else for the rest of the year. So I don't know. You know, the big question going into the season was, could their core players, i.e. Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau, could they elevate their game when needed the most, in the most important games? And we are not going to get that answer. I'm firmly of the belief there's, you know, a less than 1% chance this season is going to be completed. I actually think it's quite delusional to think that there is going to be a conclusion to the season, but I stand to be corrected. And so if this is it, then the Flames did not get their answer. They did not find out if their two core pieces and their team in general is capable of taking their game to another level. Because the year before, they were the second-best team in hockey record-wise in the regular season, and they got smoked in the playoffs by a red-hot Colorado team. Were they destined to do something similar this year? If so, that core would have been blown apart. But now, because you don't have your answer, I think you got to keep Johnny Gaudreau. You got to keep Sean Monahan. I don't think you make any significant changes to this roster moving forward.
Which is an interesting position to be in, because you and I called it a referendum year for Johnny Gaudreau. How do you break down his season specifically?
You know, I don't think his season was as bad as a lot of people in this city are painting it. And there was, you know, certainly a lot of frustration. When you look at the end of the season at his numbers, and I don't remember exactly what they were, but he was right around a point a game, which is pretty darn good in today's NHL. I don't know how many guys are a point a game players, maybe 30, I don't know, 20. Anyway, Johnny Gaudreau was right around there at the end of the year.
Well, he was 58 points in 70 games, so he's a little below it.
Oh, okay, quite a lot below. And you know, last year he had 99 points. He was tied for sixth in the league with Nathan MacKinnon. MacKinnon went one way this year. Johnny Gaudreau went the other. So, you know, and how many goals did he have? Like, what do you have, 15 goals or something like that?
It wasn't
significant. You know, he wasn't a goal-scoring threat like he was last year when he had, I believe it was like 34 or 35. You can keep correcting me if I'm way off there. But anyway, it wasn't the season he was looking for. He admitted it. No one could quite figure out why. Sean Monahan had a subpar season for sure. I think the two of them combined were, you know, they're both like minus 18, 19, 17. Like, and I know that stat is ridiculous, but it does just give you a glimpse of where they're at. So, no, not a great season for Johnny Gaudreau. He'd be the first to admit it. Although, I will say, I think in his last 25, 30 games, he was a point-a-game guy. And he was really happy with his game, and I think he was really coming along, which, again, compounds the problem when you look at it and evaluate whether he's worthy of being kept around long-term. And I just want to preface that by saying, you know, you don't just give Johnny Gaudreau away. You don't give him up. You don't give up on him. He's a hell of a hockey player. But is he the kind of player that you can win with? That's the question that will be labeled attached to him. When the game gets tougher, can a 158-pound player, you know, really elevate his game? And I know doesn't play a physical game, but that playmaking ability would just completely disappeared by it when they played Colorado last year. So he has 2 years left on his contract. I think this organization is hell bent on making sure they don't end up with another Jerome McGinley situation where they trade him away and it's too late and they get nothing for him. He's not going to re-sign in Calgary. I don't believe he's an East Coast guy. He wants to get back there. So at some point in the next 2 years, you got to trade him. It's not going to be this summer, I don't think, but sometime near the trade deadline next year, that'll be a question hovering over this team.
In conversation with Eric Francis this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show, Sportsnet 650, if this is it for the Calgary Flames, what does it mean? It's a very good point you make about, hey, when the going gets tough, who shows up? We know Matthew Tkachuk is a guy that's going to be there. Michael Backlund down the stretch was playing the best hockey of his career, so you'd probably put a check mark beside his name with the role he fills and the offense he was generating at that point of the season as well. Who are the other good stories, perhaps on the younger side of the equation for the Calgary Flames, that gave you evidence that when the Flames are going to make that deep push, they can be a part of it?
First guy that comes to mind is Andrew Mangiapane. This guy was a sixth-round draft pick, undersized. You know, he's a guy that had 50 goals and 100 points in Barrie in the OHL, but, you know, because of his size, you didn't know if he could make it to the next level. Well, that question has been answered emphatically this year. He's in for a significant raise this summer as a restricted free agent with arbitration rights. He's a guy who definitely, when you look at depth and you look at scoring punch, this guy solidified himself as a second liner on this team this year, which is a significant move for him and development for the organization. So theoretically, you've got your top line with Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lindholm solidified for a long time here for the next couple of years. The second line is Backlund, Tkachuk, and Mangiapane. They're all fixtures moving forward. And then you got some other depth. You know, Derek Ryan didn't have a great season, but he's still a really solid depth third and fourth forward. Milan Lucic actually was a lot better than advertised, a lot better than anyone kind of expected. Only had 20 points this year, but I think he had, you know, 7 points in his last seven games. He's really starting to come, add energy, throw that body around. So their depth was there. That was never a question with this team. The depth guys like those really started to step it up near the end, you know, near the end of the season, and that was really encouraging to this team. But Mangiapane was the guy who left everybody talking this year. Probably the biggest talking point on the team over the last 30 games.
As far as the youth movement goes, where is the club at? Where is, you know, the evaluation process at with Dylan Dubé?
I think he made some strides this year, but, you know, consistency is an issue with him. You know, he is only playing third and fourth line minutes, so you can't expect too much in terms of offensive production. But they wanted more from him in terms of defensive style, physicality, and it started to come as the season went on. There's no question he's an NHLer. There's no question he'll be a fixture on this organization's roster for the next 5-7 years. But I don't know. I think the big question is, is he a top six guy? Well, certainly for that 2 or 3 years, you know, there's no room for him in the top six. But he had a pretty good season. You know, he was a captain of the World Junior team. He's got tremendous character, leadership skills. You know, he's a well-rounded player. You know, that's another solid depth player. But you're funny. It's funny. You asked me about depth players. I didn't even mention him. A, because we haven't played in a month and I kind of forgot about him. But B, that says a lot, you know, when you don't even think about him right away, about, you know, the impact he had. He was a solid, solid player. No one would say he had a bad season. He just didn't stand out enough for me to warrant, you know, saying that he's a real solid depth player right now.
One of the other big questions Calgary has moving forward, what to do at the head coaching position. Jeff Ward jumped into terrible circumstances. His record was very good, and yet there are some high-profile coaches out on the market right now. What does Brad Treliving do if he doesn't have any other evidence to go on?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a column recently saying, the choice is obvious. You have to keep Jeff Ward. I mean, the first thing I want to say is the players love him, but that is not a prerequisite for a coach. I mean, that is not reason to keep a guy. What is reason to keep up a guy is, I think he was 12 games over 500. He turned this franchise around, their season around this year, with a kinder, gentler, open-door policy that is very rare in the NHL. And in pro sports, I might add. I think people in the sports world should really be cheering for a guy like that to prove that you can be a nice guy and gain the respect and not be taken advantage of by your players. You know, he's kind of, I think fans see him as a very vanilla guy. Like, there's not a lot of punch to him. But I can tell you, he's very cerebral. He's a very calm, measured guy. Tons of respect in the room for him. Outside the room, the media, we think the world of him. This organization has never been one to spend money on coaches. When they've been at crossroads in the past, probably the biggest, the highest profile guy they ever signed and decided to spend a little money on was Daryl Sutter. But at that time, Sutter's stock wasn't as high as it certainly is now that he's won two cups. But, you know, they are not going to be the team, especially given the local economy here, which is just gutted, absolutely gutted. Our premier said yesterday he expects unemployment to be over 25% moving forward here in the province. So you got a bad local economy. You got, you know, a horrible situation that we're all going to deal with the COVID, and that's going to just crush franchises financially. There's no way that there's a penchant for this organization to spend huge money on a Laviolette or any of the other guys that are out there, Bruce Boudreau, and bring in a big name to be a coach here. So without that being an option for them, I'd be shocked if they didn't keep Jeff Ward here.
Well, it's interesting you say that he's a guy who is a nice guy that the players like, and I would agree, but that didn't mean that he was afraid to call guys out. Quite the opposite, and I can see why that attitude would be appreciated by the fan base as well. When guys weren't playing well, when the team wasn't playing well, Jeff Ward said it like it was.
Yeah, very refreshing. And again, I think he's people who think that he's just kind of bland, I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's correct. I don't think that that's the way they should look at him because, yes, there were a couple outings that are horrific, and every team has 5, 6, 8, 10 of them every year where they're just complete stinkers. Well, they had a couple in a row, especially at home. I think they didn't win at home in 6 or 7 of their last games, and he just blasted them for them, and he just said it the way it was. It had to do a lot with their effort and basically called into question their character. And that's a theme around here. That's been a theme in Calgary for the last handful of years, dating back to Bob Hartley. Does this team have the character? Do they have guys who want to win enough? You know, there are a handful of them like Giordano, Hamonic, that would do anything to win a hockey game. But I don't know if there are enough of them. And that's a question we may not have answered this year if we don't have a playoff.
Yeah, I vividly remember him saying, well, when we get sick of losing enough, I guess we'll change the way we do things. Speaking of change, for you, Eric, what is the most important question or concern for this franchise as it moves into next year?
That's a good question. You know, like the team is going to be 90% of what it was this year. It's going to be almost the same team, you know. And that's why people are so excited going into the season, because the core is intact for quite a long time. And there's no, you can't possibly go and shake things up. But I will say this, you know, Cam Talbot, they need a backup goalie, or they need a goalie. Riddick has signed for one more year. Cam Talbot is an unrestricted free agent. He upped his stock this year. I think he proved he's back to being an NHL starter if given the opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised if someone offered him a little more money to leave Calgary and play a more prominent role. So that's a possibility. I got to tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if the Calgary Flames were looking at your goaltender out there, Markstrom. I have no insight as to, you know, what Markstrom's thinking. I know everyone in Vancouver, I'm sure, is terrified that he may leave, and he'll have that ability, and he'll have lots of suitors out there. You know, the Calgary Flames have a lot of cap space, and I know that the cap will be flat, if not go down, for next year. But the Calgary Flames do have quite a lot of wiggle room there. They're going to lose Hamonic or TJ Brody. If they choose not to sign either and dip into their young defensive pool that they have, they could spend money on a goaltender. And anyway, other than, you know, the defensive questions and a goaltender, this team will be almost identical to the one last year. So I don't know if I answered your question, but nothing of tremendous significance. You know, there's no one most important thing other than making sure that your goaltending is as good as it can possibly be in the NHL, because it carried the Calgary Flames a lot this year.
That's what every great writer does. Leaves us with that little cliffhanger then. Oh, maybe they'd be interested in Jacob Markstrom. You know, that'll get people fired up here in Vancouver. Excellent stuff, man. I always appreciate the conversation. Keep you and yours safe and healthy, and good luck with that puppy training.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You stay safe, too. Call anytime.